I'm Casper Van Dien, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a special bonus episode, Con Man Season 2 Extras on the Extras. And what that means is our good friend Mike Manning, who was an early adopter to Con Man and also gave money to the Kickstarter, was invited to be an extra on the set with Alan Tudyk and a whole bunch of other great people for the filming of Con Man Season 2. Mike just got back from that a little while ago. Mike, how did you feel about doing that?
It was phenomenal. I had such a great time, met so many great people, and all the actors, the stars that were there, were so nice to the extras, which they didn't really have to be, but they were. I saw Alan Tudyk. Nathan Fillion told a great joke, which I will share with you because it's not part of Con Man Season 2. Guy sitting at a bar drinking, throws up on his shirt. He's like, oh, no, my wife is going to kill me. Guy next to him says, hey, man, don't worry about it. You got $10 on you? He's like, yeah, I got $10. So pull it out, put it in the front of your shirt, in your pocket right there. And then when your wife says anything, you just say, I did it. He's like, oh, that's a great idea. He gets home. His wife looks at him and is like, you are disgusting. My parents were right. I never should have married you. Look at you just throwing up on yourself. He's like, hey, wait a second. I have you know, I did not do this. The guy next to me did. And he gave me $10 to have my shirt cleaned. And he reaches into his front pocket and he pulls out the bill and says, see? She looks at him and says, that's a 20. He goes, oh, yeah, he also shit in my pants.
That is a very old joke, which I've heard many times before, but I would have loved to have heard that from Nathan Fillion's lips. His soft, well soft, soft, sensual lips.
Well played.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen Con Man, the first season, I recommend you go check it out. It is hilarious, especially the part with the dolls. I'm not going to spoil anything for you. And Casper Van Dien is everywhere. There's a bar. But
anywhere there's a bar, Casper Van Dien is the bartender.
Yes.
Because, so it's Casper Van Dien.
Yeah, I guess so. So Con Man Season 2 picks up where all that left off. Spectrum is the name of the fictional TV show that was canceled way too soon after just one season that all the fans love. Alan Tudyk plays a character who was the pilot of the Spectrum ship, and Nathan Fillion plays the guy who was the captain of the Spectrum ship. I don't know where they came up with this plot, but
oh, so crazy, so crazy. And also Nathan Fillion's character is the only one from the TV show that goes on to still have a career.
Yes, yes.
Which is just nutty.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk's character hates going to cons, but he has to in order to make a living because he can't get a job as an actor because he's been stereotyped as a sci-fi actor.
Yeah, that's the basic premise, but it plays out really well, and there's a lot of great extras. A lot of great people show up. The guy who played Samwise is like a fellow con-goer who tells him, you know, some of the tricks of not losing your mind at a con. And Felicia Day shows up as his handler at one of the cons. And it's very well done. And there is not only a love and appreciation for us, the fans, but there's also a little self-deprecation and a little bit of gentle, so we say gentle chiding of the weirdest and the worst of the fan base.
Yeah, that's a safe way to put it.
Let's face it, we've been at cons where we made fun of ourselves for fanning out, so it's okay.
I do have to say, when I met Nathan Fillion at we were at San Diego Comic-Con, I had my T-shirt in my hand so we could get the whole cast of Horrible, Horrible.
Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible. Mike, you were waiting in Felicia Day's line waiting for me to run up with the t-shirt so we could get her. And I have to say, Nathan Fillion is the only celebrity I have ever been nervous in front of. Like, I have met people who I consider, and no offense to Senior Nathan, but way above him. Like, I met Robert Plant, no problem, had a beer with him, didn't stutter a moment. When I met Nathan Fillion, I literally asked him about one of his coworkers because they were in Generation Kill. And he was like, I live to serve.
Nice.
So the only person I've ever been nervous meeting. Love that guy. Love him.
Love him. All right. And we did get his autograph. And as I recall, you had to football throw that t-shirt over to Mikey so that he could get the it signed for Felicia Day.
Indeed. And you had won the tickets for the line for Nathan and gave him up so we could get the whole string of signatures for the Dr. Horrible t-shirt. And I still don't have NPH.
We also need all the Cowboys.
Yeah, way to distract from that awesome shirt.
Hey, I want the Cowboys. Hey, let's not detract from the fact that I gave up my place in line so you guys get everything. But we should also say at that same con, you guys went above and beyond to give me a Luke Cage shirt.
That's true. Yeah. They didn't. They were like, "That's for display only," and we're like,
right.
"Oh, everything's for sale.
Everything's for sale."
And especially if you bother them long enough and consistently, they will eventually sell it to you. Because when they caught Josh trying to steal it, they were like, "Look, we better sell it to you guys." Because he was pulling out like $40 and was leaving it next to where the shirt was so he could take it. He was actually stealing it.
That's right. You just thought it was name your price.
It was a fair price for the t-shirt, Mike. It was a fair price.
Hey, I agreed with you wholeheartedly. That's why I was distracting the guy.
And that was the same con where Will Wheaton asked us if we played Munchkin and if we would mind running his tournament. We're like, no, Will Wheaton, we don't mind running your tournament for you. We ended up winning that tournament, didn't we?
Yeah, Mike, you have a signed copy, right?
No, I have it.
Yeah. The fix was in no way in. Yeah.
Well, one of us was going to win it. We knew that. And we knew that the guy who was a jerk to us was not going to win it.
Yeah, we all ganged one guy who come out being in the tournament. So, yeah. All right. So without further ado, we're going to go into just a long stream of Mike Manning interviewing on the set of Con Man 2. Other extras, and some of these extras aren't just, you know, guys who chipped in $20. We're talking about producers, writers, and creators. Mike, you want to tell us about a couple of them just to whet our appetite?
Sure. Of course, Cheryl Jones, who has her podcast Movies Made Me, is there. Barbara Randall Kessel, who was one of the editors of The Watchmen, is there.
And I made the Kessel run twice, right?
In 12 parsecs.
And 12 parsecs.
12 parsecs.
And you took all 12 parsecs.
We have Barbara, who is head of Fan Base Press, who publishes Penguins versus Possums. So we've got a whole bunch of awesome people.
Well, that sounds awesome, and I can't wait to listen to all of Mike. Let's run those.
Hey, this is Mike from the Long Box, guys. I'm in Los Angeles at the filming of Con Man Season 2, and I'm interviewing the creator of Guns a-Blazin'. Sir, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Mike Wellman, Los Angeles, California. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm happy to be here. And now you are part of the filming of Con Man 2. What are you doing?
Well, we have a Guns a-Blazin' booth here on Con Man. Guns a-Blazin' is a comic book about these two time-traveling cowboys who kind of screw up the space-time continuum and have a good rock and roll time doing it. I hosted the Spectrum Gang at Free Comic Day this past year. Alan and PJ and Shannon, who's the editor on the comic book, is one of the producers on the show, organized all this and invited Guns a-Blazin' to be a part of their show. So it was kind of cool.
Excellent. And now, is Guns a-Blazin' your own press?
Yeah, it's Atomic Basement Entertainment and Ninth Circle Productions. So me and my partner in the comic, Rafael Navarro, he's the illustrator. I'm the wordsmith. And, so we're, it's kind of like a 50-50 thing. We make it and have a good time, yeah.
And how can people find your comic book?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. We're not online. We're not on Comixology. It's part of the experience of Guns a-Blazin' is actually holding it in your hand, not reading it digitally. It's printed on a really nice sort of a Fillmore paper. Like, you know what a Fillmore is?
No, is it like a Henway?
It's like those old rock and roll posters that they would have at the Fillmore in San Francisco, like a heavier stock, the colors pop more. And we have refused so far to put it out digitally. So the only way to get it is to run into us at a show, which is pretty easy if you're in California. I'll be sure to hook you up with a set. And but yeah, we're doing San Diego Comic Con, Palm Springs Comic Con, Kamikaze, Stanley's Kamikaze will be there. Weird Con in Anaheim. We're doing a bunch of store signings. So yeah, you just have to find us. And then we're on Facebook. Guns of Blazin's on Facebook. You could always send us a sweet message and maybe we'll hook it up there.
All right, excellent. And are you also on Twitter or any other social media?
I'm on Instagram, AtomicBasement1 on Instagram. And Raphael is Raphael_Navarro007, I believe, on Instagram. We're not on Twitter, no. But Facebook, as Guns of Blazin' or as our own personal pages, it's always fun, yeah.
We do a panel on horrible stereotypes in
Ooh.
Comic books.
Okay.
Is there a horrible stereotype that you think of and cringe at, or is one that you actually find endearing?
Is that like happening today, or can we talk about old ones? Or
you can talk about anything you want.
Yeah. Well, I was a big fan of Short Round in Temple of Doom. I guess he would be seen as a stereotype. I don't know. I thought he was a badass. You know him when you see him. You, like sort of a... The sort of girl in peril sort of thing, like that Batgirl cover that brought a lot of steam to, you know what I'm talking about? About a year ago.
No, tell us.
So the Batgirl comic, Babstar illustrates Batgirl, and the tone of the series is shit. I mean, she's known as one of the first sort of refrigerator characters that got shot and can't walk and stuff. So they re-empowered Batgirl, but then they relived. They had a Joker variant month. This is about a year ago they did this, and. Yeah, I mean, it's when the tone doesn't fit. Like, if it's a book that is a fun, safe place for female readers, we should keep that,
Yeah, you shouldn't do an homage to the Killing Joke
exactly,
in Batgirl.
Exactly, right. So, Spider-Gwen's another sort of, I think, safe haven. And I'd like to see more of that. Like, I'm also a retailer, I forgot to tell you. I have a couple comic shops here in L.A., The Comic Bug. We have a group that meets every Thursday there called The Ladybugs, and it's like a female comic creator group. Barbara, who's sitting with us, she edited Watchmen. You might want to talk to her, too. She edited Dark Empire. She edited the first Hellboy stuff. And she edited the Ladybug anthology. So she's a good friend of the store. So I'm all about a diverse population coming and shopping at the Comic Bug.
And where is the Comic Bug located?
We have two locations conveniently located. Where are you from?
New Orleans.
Not very convenient for you, but Manhattan Beach, California. And Culver City, California. You should definitely come check it out before you head back to New Orleans.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
I am Christy Ferris, and I live north of Houston in Texas.
And you are dressed like Zoe today?
I am. Zoe from the Firefly TV series and also the Serenity movie.
Now, if you had your choice between another Serenity movie or a Spectrum movie, which would you choose?
Oh, that's painful, but I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to have to say Serenity because I'm just in love with that cast. I think it's one of the best. Firefly is one of the best series of all times, and it just makes me want to cry every time I rewatch it and know it ended.
So basically you don't want Alan Tudyk to work. I see how you are.
Actually, I want Alan Tudyk to work with Joss Whedon, and I want the whole crew to get back together. I'm one of those still holdouts for Bring Back Firefly.
You want him to be an undead zombie? Is that how you wanted to do it?
I don't care if they're in wheelchairs. I want them to bring it back. I think they're awesome characters. I think it could very much work, but that's just me.
Did you watch Firefly while it was on TV, or did you find it afterwards?
I found it afterwards, and what's interesting is I saw the poster, and I mean one of the promo pictures, and I honestly, for whatever reason, with their clothes, I thought it was like a World War II kind of show. I didn't see the spaceship, so I had no idea. Years later, I was kicking myself when I realized what I had missed out on the first time.
Now, what was your way into the geek subculture? Was it Firefly or was it something earlier than that?
I go way back. My dad was a Trekkie. He was always told he looks like William Shatner, and so we were always growing up watching that and into the Next Generation and Star Wars and all that. But really, my intro into geek world probably really did kind of exacerbate with Firefly. And then I went to my first comic convention, and then from there on it was, dressing up is just awesome.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, this is Mike from the Longbox Guys. I am here in Los Angeles at the filming of Con Man Season 2, and I am talking to one of the greatest editors of all time, Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Barbara Randall Kiesel, and I don't know if I'd give myself that credit, but I'll accept the editor part.
You have edited one of, according to Time Magazine, the 50 greatest American novels of all time, so I think that qualifies. Can you tell us about your background?
You're talking about Watchmen. The editors on that book are Len Wein and me, and yeah, we knew at the time it was something pretty groundbreaking. Inevitably, with time, it's been degraded somewhat because the new storytelling techniques and the new insights it brought to comics that were fresh at the time have been used by so many people that a modern reader now goes back and looks at Watchmen and goes, I don't get what the big deal is about. I mean, it's still a powerful story, but they don't understand what kind of groundbreaking storytelling it was.
Oh, yeah, it totally captured the 1980s feel of the atomic age where you could get annihilated at any moment.
And it's brilliant story, brilliant design, brilliant just working together as making the perfect graphic novel. It gets a lot of gold stars.
Now, other than The Watchmen, you've done a whole bunch of other stuff, too. What kind of work did you do at DC?
Let's see. At DC, I worked on everything from, I worked under Marv on Teen Titans, and I started up the TSR books, the first time we'd done gaming comics there. And I co-wrote Hawk and Dove with my ex-husband, Carl. And I did lots of other stuff that I'm not really thinking about today, because I was sort of on a different track, and now I'm trying to think about my history.
Wait a second. Did you just say you wrote Hawk and Dove? Is that the 1980s Hawk and Dove?
1980s version, yes.
That was great.
The one that introduced a female dove.
Yes, and was that an imperative for you, or did somebody just say, hey, you know, go create a new dove?
Carl had been doing pieces in his sketchbook, and one of the pieces he did was a female dove, and I said, who is that? And he said, I always thought dove should be a girl, yin-yang for balance and all that. So we started tossing around ideas and came up with a pitch that we took into D.C. and got to do it.
So are you responsible?
We introduced a fresh, young artist on the series that people either love us or hate us for, a guy named Rob Liefeld.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's around somewhere. Check and Google his name. You'll find something.
And you worked on the Teen Titans also, which was my favorite comic book when I was a kid. Those and the X-Men were my two jams. I'm so excited to meet you. You also did a lot of work on Star Wars comics for Dark Horse, right?
I edited the first Star Wars comics at Dark Horse when Dark Empire came over. And Tom and Cam had started the book at Marvel because Marvel originally had the license. So they brought it over to us, and we brought the whole thing together to market and started a whole new franchise for Star Wars there. But I just edited the first one and then told my boss that we needed somebody to put all the Star Wars comics on, you know, that I could do another miniseries, but we'd get another editor and do all of them at once.
And what other independents have you worked for?
And see, on staff time, I was at DC, then I was at Dark Horse, then I was at CrossGen, helped to start up that company too. In the meantime, in between those, I've been a freelancer and have done work for pretty much all the companies around. I think I have a couple that I have to catch up with.
Okay, well, we do a panel on horrible stereotypes. Is there a favorite horrible stereotype that you have, or just a horrible stereotype that makes you cringe?
Oh, horrible stereotypes. Well, I'd say the stereotypes about comic book fans, which are sometimes true and sometimes terribly, terribly wrong. Those can be pretty funny. And as we know, with the rise of superhero pop culture mentality in the general public, pretty much we're all geeky fanboys now.
Yeah, it's cool to be a geek. When I was growing up, I never knew that there was just this entire community out there of my people. But it's so nice that you can go to cons and everything and see other people who everybody you meet has the same passion that you do.
I've heard from more people who didn't have any interest in me in high school who are now seeking me out to see if I can get them Comic-Con tickets. The answer, by the way, is no.
Can you get me con tickets?
No.
All right, excellent. So is there anything you're currently working on?
I'm working on, if you check out the Facebook page for Shadow Zone Graphic Novel. That's a big project I'm working with Ryan Odagawa, and we're both inching through that as we work on other projects. I just had a couple of things go down in flames, so I can't say I'm working on them. Whenever I'm not working on anything else, I'm writing a young adult novel, and that's all I can think of right now. I'm not in comic book head. I've been editing.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
You're so welcome.
Hey, this is Mike with the Long Box Guys, and I am here at Con Man Season 2, and I am interviewing someone from Fanbase Press. Could you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Barbara Dillon, and I am the editor-in-chief of Fanbase Press.
Now, I've read one of your comics so far. It is Penguins versus Possums, which is kind of like, I view it as like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as far as being old school, and it's a ridiculous concept, but it works really well because you take it so seriously. Tell me about the other comics that you guys have.
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you for reading Penguins versus Possums. It's definitely an epic and fun series, so I'm glad you enjoyed it. We have four other titles through Fanbase Press. Our first is Something Animal, which is our take on the vampire mythos. We strip away all of the supernatural elements, so it's really more of a psychological thriller of what is going on in the mind of this individual. All hand-painted artwork by Robert Burroughs, which is really gorgeous, and written by Bryant Dillon and Sam Rhodes. We also have Identity Thief, which is also hand-painted by artist Megan O'Keefe, written by Bryant Dillon, and it's more like akin to an episode of The Twilight Zone. It's about a young couple that moves into a new apartment. They find a mysterious hatch in the ceiling of their closet. Unfortunately, there may be something living in that hatch coming out at night. We also have The Arcs, for those who are not so much into horror. This is more of a fantasy war epic between angels and demons. And lastly, we have Fear Worms, which is a collection of horror-themed poetry and illustrations by Robert Payne Cabine. And the cover is illustrated by Eisner Award-winning artist Bill Sienkiewicz.
Nice. And where can people find Fanbase Press comics?
An excellent question. You can find us at our website, which is fanbasepress.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We have an online store, and all of our books are available through Comixology.
Excellent. Now, you also are associated with podcasts. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. In addition to publishing, we have a big online community through which we love supporting other creators of all kinds, not just comics. We do so through daily reviews, interviews, and podcasts. We have four different podcasts running right now, including the Fanbase Weekly, which is our weekly news show. We talk about the latest geek news from the week with special guests. We also have the Arkham Sessions, which is led by Dr. Andrea Letamendi and Brian Ward, and they talk about every episode of Batman the Animated Series. We've got Quality Time with Family Ties, which analyzes every episode of Family Ties. And we have the Previews Party, which talks about the monthly catalog previews and how to pre-order.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brenda Griffith, and I'm from Austin, Texas.
And what was your way into the geek culture?
When I was about 6 years old, 5 years old, and Star Trek first came out, and I used to watch it over Swanson's TV chicken dinners with my mother on the glass coffee table in the living room once a week.
So you were original Star Trek. Who is your favorite captain?
Kirk.
What about the new Kirk versus old Kirk?
The new Kirk in the movies, I love. I absolutely love. I love the remake of the series. I think they've done an excellent job.
Are you pro-motorcycles in Star Trek or anti-motorcycles?
Absolutely pro.
Hi, my name's John Luca Glazer. I live in Los Angeles, California. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. Awesome. What's your favorite barbecue joint?
Oh, gosh. Probably Corky's or The Rendezvous.
Wrong. It's Central Barbecue. You got it wrong.
Oh, okay. You got me there.
All right. So you used to work in the comic book field. What was your gateway into comic books?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, I was into comic books as a kid. I was a huge Batman fan. I kind of got out of it in college. And then, you know, when I came out to California, I wanted to work in entertainment. And then I got introduced by Ross Ritchie. He hired me for Boom Studios. I did, like, marketing and production work. And at the same time, I kind of got reintroduced to a love of comic books and got to, like, learn from him in terms of the history of comic books.
So you said you got out of comic books for a little while. When did you start reading comic books?
Oh, when I was a kid, basically. Again, I love Batman very much. And probably like around my sophomore, junior year of high school, I kind of dropped out of comic books for a little bit until I came out to Los Angeles.
All right. And so what other companies have you done marketing for?
Well, I worked for Boom Studios for a year. And then after that, I got hired by a guy named Barry Levine and Dave Elliott, and I worked for a company called Radical Publishing, and we put out a number of books, quality stuff like Caliber with Sam Sakaar. We had a Hercules that came out. It became a movie later on with The Rock. I got to work with some really great guys. Rick Remender for The Last Days of American Crime, which got re-released by Image Comics, if you're interested in checking that out. Same team that does the book Low. Steve Pugh, who's got the new Flintstone comic out. He did a great book called Hot Wire. If you happen to see it on eBay, definitely pick it up. But, yeah, besides that, I did some freelance stuff, too. Worked for some guys that got published through Image and, basically kind of faded out, unfortunately, after that.
What's your current favorite title that you're reading?
I love Low. Rick Remender, a great writer. I also pick up, like, a lot of the Boom Studio stuff, too. I liked Lantern City. That was a great series that came out, as well as Arcadia. I love the science fiction stuff, really.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mike Ferris from Houston, Texas.
And we're here at Con Man Season 2, the filming. Mm-hmm. I noticed you were in a lot of scenes as the vendor. How did you get that cush job?
I have no idea, other than the fact that I'm dressed, like, completely out of costume. I'm just wearing plain shorts and a plain shirt, and I guess that's it. PJ, I guess, is one of the originators of the series. He's grabbed me both times to be a vendor. So I guess I'm the right age, right appearance, right wrong dress. So.
And what is your favorite sci-fi series?
Wow. Firefly probably overall, Star Trek. Those two probably overall. You go back in time, Trekkie from a kid. Not a crazy serious Trekkie, but really enjoyed the old black and white Star Trek, and then where they went with it. To tell you the truth, I got burned out on Star Trek until they brought in Chris Pine and retooled who Shatner is, or not Shatner, who Kirk was, and got into the reality of who he was and how he got to be who he was. That was a very interesting story.
Okay, who's your favorite captain? Mal Reynolds or Tiberius Kirk?
Probably got to be Mal overall. Kind of a neck and neck Mal and Chris Pine as Kirk, but Mal overall. Mal is very decisive. He doesn't get caught up in nonsense. Well, yeah, he does, but it's fun when he does.
He looks good in tight pants. So, what was your favorite Mal scene?
Well, actually, one of my favorite overall for the series is the lead-in, because every time we sit down and watch a show, we bought it. What you see on Netflix and what you see on the DVD is different in the lead-ins, because they have different voices on the Netflix version. Each person will introduce a show. But that lead-in, where they capture some really good nuggets, like we're in Nara and the Shepherd. He's really upset about something. She's touching him on the head. That is one of the most expressive scenes in the whole series. But favorites for Mal overall, probably the one we come to ripping back on the it's an early in the season, when the Fed has, I think it's Kaylee at gunpoint, and he just walks on the ship. We're through with this discussion, shoots a guy, moves on. It's crazy. It's decisive. It's not what you expect to see. And that's what I love about Joss Whedon's work, is he always puts the unexpected in there.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
My name's Don Cameron, and I live in Burbank. And I worked with Shannon Denton, who's one of the producers on this show here. And we've known each other for about 15 years, so that's how I ended up being a part of this. I've been on sets before. I worked on Tales from the Crypt, so I had an idea that it was an awful lot of sit around and wait. And that's pretty much what my day was yesterday. Just sit where you are and watch things being filmed elsewhere. But I really enjoyed being here. It actually feels like I'm at a convention. You know, it's fun to see all the people in costume, and especially some of the people that are starring in the show. So I've been having a great time hanging out.
So you're wearing a Spider-Man shirt. Are you a fan of the comic book?
Yeah. Originally, I'm from Scotland, and I grew up, no comic books. So there were British comic books, but those are very different than the American ones. So I grew up with the Batman TV show. But when I came to America, I discovered Spider-Man and the Hulk, and that I was a fanatic. Huge fan of John Romita and Gil Kane. And I used to read Stan's soapbox all the time, so I felt like I knew these guys, you know. And I always wanted to be a comic book artist when I grew up. And I actually had the opportunity. I got to work with Gil Kane, and I've gotten to meet these guys at conventions and worked with some of them over the years. So it was a dream come true. But, yeah, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan.
Now, who's your favorite lame Spider-Man villain?
is it Stiltman, I think?
You are correct, sir. It is Stiltman.
Yeah. That was the one as a kid. I used to, you know, I'll get the comic book anyway, but geez, come on, you know?
You know, what's amazing is he stole the armor, but somehow, even though he gets arrested all the time, he manages to steal the armor back. Isn't that strange to you?
Yeah. Why would you even bother, you know? Just let it go. Find some other superpowers, some other costume. It's not worth it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Amber Rose. I'm originally from Sydney, but I live in L.A. now.
And what brought you to L.A.?
Studying psychology, actually. Forensic psychology. Nothing to do with acting.
And how did you become a journalist?
I lived in a small-ish country town. I mean, it's a big regional city, but it feels like a small country town, particularly in comparison to L.A. And I was just really into bands and music, so I started writing for a local paper, and that kind of, I started managing and booking bands, and that kind of grew, and then I kind of made a name for myself as a music journalist. Not a huge name, but big enough that I continued to get work, so I did that for 6 years.
Awesome. And where can people read your writings?
They can read my writings. It's not just music. I write about film. I actually did an article on Con Man Season 1. They can find me at whiskeyblonde.com. And whiskey and blonde is spelled the English way, so there are E's in there.
Excellent. And would you consider yourself a geek?
I would, yeah. My looks can be a little bit deceiving, but I was a huge nerd. I mean, I still am a huge nerd, but I was a huge nerd in high school. My brother and I played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic on weekends. And, yeah, I started reading comic books when I was younger. My brother, like, stayed really into them. I'm kind of, like, getting back, like, revisiting comic books again. I really like Lady Death. She's not very popular anymore. I don't think it's really hard to find her comics, like digital comics of Lady Death. But yeah, she was one of my favorites. Or Psylocke from X-Men is, yeah. I mean, I'm into the ladies.
Now, who's your go-to character? You got to roll up a character. What class are you going with? What race?
It's been a really long time since I've played D&D. I can't remember. I don't know. I think I was like usually like a maze or like a. I liked to be the magical lady. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even think that we played by the rule book properly because we started when we were really young, and my brother is a control freak, so he would always be the dungeon master, but yeah.
So you had a choice between a Firefly movie or a Spectrum movie. What do you choose?
Ooh, like if they made one? Oh, that's a really tough question. If Wash came back, it would definitely be Firefly, even as like a ghost, like as he comes back in the comics, I would be like... I'd be happy with that. But if there was no Wash, I'd definitely go Spectrum all the way.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. I can get that out. You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Grant. I'm from Indiana, but I live in South Central.
And you are dressed like Wolverine today. Is Logan your favorite character?
He is one of my favorites ever since I was a little kid.
Now, how did you get introduced to Wolverine? Was it the movies or comic books?
I think it was video games, actually. Like Marvel versus Capcom, like in the arcades.
Awesome. So is your gateway into geekdom the video games, or was it something else?
It was video games and then books, like a lot of Star Wars novels, Star Trek novels. That's real deep geek stuff, but that's where I started.
Now, if you had to choose between Star Wars or Star Trek, which do you choose?
Star Wars.
What was your favorite Star Wars storyline?
In the extended universe that no longer counts, that Dark Force Rising. I had all three of the originals. I wish they would have put Thrawn in somewhere. I mean, that's such a cool character.
And for all our fans listening who don't know that storyline, could you briefly tell us what it's about?
Oh, so Dark Force Rising is about an old Jedi Master that turns out to be a clone of a different Jedi Master, and the Imperial forces are coming after Luke and Mara Jade, who is on again, off again, on board with Luke.
Do you think Mara Jade is the mom of Rey?
I think that'd be very interesting. I know J.J. Abrams said, and Disney said, they were throwing out all the extended universe stuff, but that would be such a good twist, and she was such a good, strong character, that it's fun to think about it anyway.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, not a problem.
My name is Al Partisano, and I'm from Long Beach, California.
Okay, and now you are trying to save the world with your program. You're a programmer, right?
That is correct.
And could you tell everybody about your project that you're working on?
I am trying to save the world by preserving coral reefs in Southeast Asia, like the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Vietnam, taking on the overfisheries and the pollution that's on the ocean right now.
So you're basically a superhero without the superpowers. What was your favorite superhero growing up?
Ooh, my favorite superhero was... I like Moon Knight. I like Moon Knight. I like Moon Knight, and then after that, I got into... I like Gambit, and I also liked X-Force, like Cable and Deadpool and... during the Rob Liefeld era.
So does Moon Knight have multiple personality disorder, or do you think he's just got brain damage from being shot in the head and left for dead?
I think he has both. I think he has both. It's I have more sympathy for Moon Knight, especially after he got shot in the head.
All right, now if you had to choose between a Moon Knight movie or a Spectrum movie, what would you choose?
Ooh. I'm going to choose a Moon Knight movie.
And who's going to be starring as Moon Knight?
I could see David Schwimmer. Yeah, he was good on that new AMC movie. And I also liked him on The People vs. O.J. Simpson. So I could see him playing the role of Mark Spector in Moon Knight.
And he's excellent at rap, too, so that would work out. He was also great on Band of Brothers. So.
That, too.
Is there any comic out there that you're reading now?
I'm reading Guns a-Blazin'. It's a Western comic. It's pretty fun for me to read.
It's very funny also.
It's very funny, too.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Bruin, and I'm from Canton, Ohio.
Canton, Ohio? How did you make it all the way to L.A.?
Well, I took an airplane.
That's good, because you can't fly yourself.
No.
And what brought you to L.A.? Was it just for the filming?
And I wanted to see all the beaches and the sights and the Hollywood and the Hollywood sign and all that.
Now, we were scene partners in probably the most pivotal scene of the Con Man Season 2 series.
I think we stole the show.
That's right. Now, for all of the fans out there who are wondering where they can see you, is there a social media site that you have, or should they just contact your agent?
I do have a very small YouTube channel called The Vegan Nerd that you can subscribe to. I don't post videos anymore, but if you want to laugh at me, you can do that.
Now, what is The Vegan Nerd about?
It's about me making a fool of myself and just telling people to go vegan.
All right. Well, that's very healthy of you. So what was your into the geek culture? What brought you into this world?
Oh, I'm not sure I could remember that. Probably watching cartoons as an early child. I loved cartoons.
Now, what was your favorite cartoon back in the day?
Oh, probably Batman the Animated Series.
Nice. Bruce Timm, that is an excellent pull. Now, Harley Quinn or the Joker, who do you prefer?
I'd go for the Joker, Mark Hamill.
All right, excellent. Great call. Is he your favorite Joker of all time?
Definitely.
Now, you know he's going to be the Joker for the animated movie, The Killing Joke?
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah.
What is your favorite comic book?
I really liked Max Landis' run on American Alien.
That is nice. A nice pull. It's just recent, too. So are you a Superman fan also?
Yeah.
Is he an illegal alien?
No comment.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
I'm Heather, and I'm from California.
And what was your introduction into comic books?
Into comic books? I think I found one of my dad's or my sister's when I was like 5.
Do you remember what it was?
No idea. I have a feeling it was Archie, because my sister loves Archie.
What's your superhero of choice?
Superhero, if I had to pick one comic book superhero of choice, I would probably say Iron Man.
Nice pull. And now, what is your favorite lame Iron Man villain?
Any of them? Whiplash.
Nice call. He is the guy with an electric whip. How does he beat anybody when a guy has repulsors and can shoot him from farther away?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Who's your favorite Iron Man villain?
Favorite one? Oh, Loki. Even though he's not Iron Man villain, he's an Avengers villain. And I love Loki.
If you had to choose between a Loki movie or another Iron Man movie, what would you pick?
Loki.
So what do you think about the new Iron Man not being Tony Stark?
I don't know. I never judge anything before I see it. And my first thing is always like, oh, why did they do that? But I've loved most of the decisions that they've made after I've seen it. So I have no idea. I'll have to judge it when it comes out.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Halo. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah, and the Utah Browncoats.
Now, could you tell everybody what the Utah Browncoats are?
Well, the Utah Browncoats is a group of folks that get together to do a lot of fun things. We have booths at Comic-Con, and we also do Can't Stop the Serenity events. We raise a lot of money for charity, so we do a lot of different events throughout the year to do that.
Now, do you have an event coming up?
The biggest event we have coming up right now is that we have the Browncoat Ball. We won the bid for that, so it moves around from city to city every year. And the Utah Browncoats applied to host it. And so that's what we're going to be hosting. It's coming up in August 26th through 28th.
And how can people find out information about the Browncoat Ball?
So you go to browncoatball.com, and that will have all the information about everything that's happening.
Now, is there a Purple Belly cosplayer group out there that you're opposed to?
No, but we would welcome the Purple Bellies because they are human like us, but we'd probably keep them at an arm's length.
You'd probably be on the outside, and they'd be like right in the middle of everything?
Yeah. We do actually have some Alliance Security, some Purple Bellies contracted to help protect the Browncoat Ball.
Nice. And what was your introduction into Firefly? Did you find it on your own, or did you see the TV show, or did a friend recommend it?
So I'm actually a really, really, really new person to Firefly because I only found it at the beginning of 2014. I had heard my friends saying, oh, you need to watch this show, you need to watch this show, for many, many years. And I had a lot of downtime over the holidays. And I finally was like, okay, I'm going to watch this show because I don't watch a lot of television. And I immediately got hooked on it. I started looking for the Browncoats. I found the Utah Browncoats group, and it's basically taken over my life.
Would you like to have your mind blown? Here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
The assassin from the movie Serenity,
yeah,
is Shepherd Book's son.
He's a little old to be Shepherd Book's son, but yeah, I can see that kind of happening.
Longglass is like 60. He could totally be.
Yes, true, true. But yeah, I don't know. I think, but Shepherd Book never married, but he could still have a son out there, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
My name is Kerry Lee. I'm from Redwood City, which is kind of in the Bay Area.
Hi, my name is John Paul Polio, and I'm also from Redwood City.
Now, what brought you all the way down here today? Just for the filming, or have you did you have something else going on, too?
We met PJ, the producer, a couple months ago at one of the conventions, and we ran into him at the subsequent few conventions, and he was telling us that Con Man Season 2 is filming. We missed out on Season 1 filming because we were busy, and so on this round of extra filming, we made sure to get on the list, and PJ invited us out, and so we're kind of doing this as something we wanted to do anyways and something that we get to see some of our new friend PJ.
Now, you guys are dressed like Halo. Is there a cosplay group that you're involved in, or did you just happen to be friends who both love Halo?
Both, actually. We started, we kind of just wanted to make costumes ever since we were a kid and jumped into it really not knowing what we were getting into, but then we found out there is a huge, there's a worldwide costuming group from it, and now he and I are the heads of Northern California, actually, and, you know, there's like 20 or 30 of us out at Comic-Con in San Diego, WonderCon, Emerald City.
Nice. And what's the name of your group?
So it's called the 405th Infantry Division. So it's kind of like the 501st, which is the Star Wars version of it. Same kind of concept, but I've met a lot of good friends through there, and we've been a part of it for a couple years now, about 3 years.
No, we do. We do a lot of different events for free and stuff, like go hang out with kids, do a lot of launches and stuff. Microsoft will call us out for things, and there's no money involved in it. It's all just for fun.
Now, how long did it take to make your costumes?
Initially, it took us about 3 months to get kind of the base costumes done, because that's the amount of time we had before San Diego Comic-Con. After that, when we figured out that we had done a bunch of things wrong, we took an extra 5 or so months to kind of rework a lot of parts, remake a lot of parts, and kind of get it to where they are now.
Well, the costumes look amazing, but they look very hot. Do you have any kind of cooling mechanisms in there to kind of regulate your body temperature?
Nope.
We have
warming mechanisms.
The closest thing we have is that our helmets have little CPU fans in them. Otherwise, it's just kind of pouring water on ourselves when we get hot.
So tell me about Uncharted.
Uncharted is a video game for the Sony PlayStation. It's kind of like a modern-day Indiana Jones, the treasure hunting adventure romance. And it's voiced by one of the main characters of Con Man, so he's probably here somewhere, actually.
Now, did you... You have your own fan movie, right?
Ever since I was playing it, I always thought of the parallels of Indiana Jones, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to write a short where it brought the two universes together. And on my desk, I had the bank of the idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I started out with like a 2 or 3 minute idea, and then it blossomed into this like huge like you know prop budget where he had a Foot Locker and all sorts of Indiana Jones props, pictures. It's a narrative where the first few minutes you don't know what I'm talking about or who I'm referring to other than it's a doctor and he's the one that got me inspired into the adventure business. So as Nathan Drake, I find a bunch of clues and like some Nazi props, and then I eventually find Carrie's character, who was a character that was killed off in one of the previous Uncharted games. Then there's a fight scene and lots of gunfire. And
now, where can people see this?
It's still in post-production, but it's on my Facebook page, and then it'll be on YouTube.
And what's your Facebook page so people can go find it?
It's Facebook/ John Paul Polio. The last name is P-O-L-L-I-O.
You did all the props for it?
Just a few of them. He actually got most of the costume stuff together and already had a lot of the costume stuff for it, and did a lot of the painting and making of stuff. And he came me up one day and said, how would you like to be Eddie Raja? And I was like, well, I'm ambiguously tan and look kind of Filipino. I could probably do that. So, yeah, I was totally on board to help him out, and it was a lot of fun.
And how long is the movie going to be approximately?
About 25 minutes, 25, half hour, somewhere in there. It's got some trimming, but...
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hope you guys like it.
Hi, my name is Chris Luchow. You can find me on YouTube, Chris Wicks, K-R-I-S-W-I-X-X. Easiest way to get a hold of me. What else do you need to know?
Well, what is your YouTube channel?
Oh, my YouTube channel is Chris Wicks. I do vape reviews and whatnot, but I'm branching off. I do a little cosplay prop painting and just getting used to being in the scene, so to speak. You know, it's real interesting how everybody is just loving showing up with multitude of costumes and just good to be around good people, you know. These are my people for sure, yeah.
And how did you get introduced into the geek culture?
Oh, you know, my brother was a big influence growing up. He and his buddies always played tabletop games and whatnot. So, you know, when it comes down to it, just watching everybody have a good time around the board and interact and act out some of the roles of the characters and got into comic books and everything. So, you know, cartoons and, yeah, man, it's just been awesome. This is a good experience. I'm glad that you came down and take a look at everybody for sure. But, yeah, my brother totally hooked it up.
Now, what is your favorite board game?
Right now, Talisman. I've been playing that since, like, 1983. I still have the old box and everything. And so most of the time now, I just game online with everybody else. But it's cool because I could still play Talisman. It's the same old board. And I'm playing with people from Japan, Europe, and Asia, everywhere, global. So instead of just a backyard game with a few friends, I'm now reaching across the nation with digital. So Talisman on Steam and everything is pretty chill.
Now, how did you find all these people to play Talisman with?
You know, it's a good question because locally, there's not much socializing that I do with groups of people. So I'm looking for like a small gamer group or just a cool little place to hang out. So I found these guys online, and one guy's in Belgium, the other guy's in Japan. We play like once a week, so it's good to have nationwide and global just a bunch of people to play with. So
you probably have the largest Talisman game ever, just based on distance-wise.
Right. It's the farthest ever. But, you know, we're jumping into doing the Skype thing and stuff, so you can still interact and create that fun that you have when you're gaming with your friends and bring that into a level of comfort in your own home, you know.
What kind of cosplay do you prefer?
Well, right now, I know you can't see me, but I'm wearing this Jawa costume. And it kind of makeshifts for a multitude of things, a wizard, everything, with my beard. I just kind of showing up. But I do want to get into it and make a bunch of costumes. I have some Wampa wear, AT-AT, and it's AT-AT, not A-T-A-T. But we're all friends here. It doesn't matter. So AT-AT, I have a jumpsuit that's gray. So I'm slowly piecing together things like zombie costumes and everything. I just really like to dress up. And Halloween, 365 days a year, brother.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Hey, really nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
Kyle from Minnesota flew down here for the second season of Con Man series. Was back here for first season last year. It was awesome, so decided to come down again.
And what was your costume last season?
Last season didn't really wear a costume. Showed up in a couple of T-shirts and some jeans. Didn't do much in the way of costumes. This year decided to bring one down.
Now, your costume's from a book series. What series is it from?
It's from the Honor Harrington series, written by David Weber. Timothy Zahn's working on a prequel series, working with him. And there's also a comic series called Tales of Honor, which you can actually see on one of the booths here in the second season.
Is that your favorite sci-fi fantasy series?
As far as sci-fi series, I'd say, yeah, that's probably my favorite. There's a lot of good fantasy series. I don't think I could really name a favorite right now, as far as that goes.
What was your gateway into the geek culture?
I think I read Lord of the Rings in elementary school. I found it in the school library. That kind of got me started. My dad was an old sci-fi fan, so he had tons of Asimov laying around, Heinlein, all the rest of the fun ones.
Wait, you read Lord of the Rings when you were in elementary school?
Yeah, I read The Hobbit in elementary school. I didn't actually read the actual Lord of the Rings trilogy. I remember playing around with the alphabet and the beginning and the dictionaries. I didn't get to the actual books until a couple years later, I don't think.
Because I was going to say, when I read it, I had to use note cards and index cards to keep track of everything. So I'm impressed if you read it in elementary school. But The Hobbit was a great book, too. What was your favorite character in The Hobbit?
That's hard to say. There's so many good ones. I don't know if I could say a favorite character.
What is it about Wheel of Time? Because I got a lot of friends who are big Wheel of Time fans, and I couldn't get into it. What is it about Wheel of Time that you dig?
Well, the first one was a really nice story about, you know, going from nothing to, you know, going on an adventure. It was a fun adventure. The follow-up books were fun because they really split off into three different directions with three completely different types of people, all kind of stuck under the same situation and the same worldview, but they all approached what they had to do from really different, you know, viewpoints. The one character was kind of resigned to it, another character was like, well, this sucks, but I have to do it anyways. And the third one's just like, oh, hell no, I'm not dealing with this. Takes off, but still, when he has to, deals with it. So the characters and the people they meet and just the worlds and the politics and all the interactions that they have throughout really developed into just being a really fun world to jump into and play with.
Now, did you enjoy the books after Jordan died and somebody else took over writing them?
Not at first, but they grew on me because it's a really a different style when you get to the end. But after getting to the end and reading the last one in particular and how he finished it up, I thought it was actually quite fitting because at that point in the storyline, with the way things are coming to a head, it's the style actually works. It's I don't know how to describe it. Darker, maybe? More bleak, I guess, to begin with, as far as the style goes, which really fits with what's going on to all the characters and how things are going. And so it is a completely different style, but I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Topping Haggerty, Austin, Texas.
Rosie Leon, Los Angeles, California.
Now, word on the street is that you are a puppeteer. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. But my puppets are more adult, angry, drunk, alcoholic puppets, so they're not family-friendly puppets.
That sounds like a family reunion at my house, yeah. Except without the puppets.
Are you sure your family isn't puppets?
Well, we could reenact it. It'll be great.
I will bring the puppets. We will reenact your family Thanksgiving. Oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
This is going to be like therapy. This is going to be great. Yeah. Now, you've done a movie. Is that correct?
Well, yes. Yeah. So I participated in the 48-hour film project this year in Austin, which was just last month, where you do a whole film in 48 hours. And I told my friend Beth, I will do it as long as I don't want to be too tech-heavy. I have no time for that. I'm going to film it with my phone, and we'll just do it. And it came out pretty good. I didn't film it with my phone. I did it with my little tiny video camera. But beside the fact that the lighting is a little off, it was really fun. Day of the Dingus, if you're ever really bored and want to look that up. Day of the Dingus.
Now, where can people find Day of the Dingus?
Well, it's on YouTube. Day of the Dingus.
Is it all one word?
No, day, space, the, of, space, the, space, dingus. By Topping Haggerty.
Well, I could have figured out it was. You didn't have to put the spaces in. If you said it wasn't all one word, I would have figured that out.
My brain, it's early in the morning. I can't think. Tiny brain, tiny, tiny brain.
Now,
yes.
Where did the dingus come from for the title?
The dingus is actually, I was given a stuffed animal that has fake teeth in it that everybody else hates or is frightened of that I think is amazing. It has this huge, scary, toothy grin that has real teeth, but it's a stuffed animal, so it makes it look really creepy and awesome. And we got all our 4 suggestions that you get when you're starting the movie to make sure that you're making the movie within 48 hours. And my friend Beth goes, we have to put Lovey in it. Lovey is the name of the creature. And so I'm like, all right. And I use that as, that's Dingus. Dingus is Lovey.
Now you two are friends?
We met here on the set of Con Man.
Oh, and you are a brown coat, I see.
Hardcore brown coat, yes, sir.
Are you a member of the brown coats, or are you just a big brown coat fan?
I'm an original fan, so I'd say I'm a member of the brown coats.
Now, you were there at the beginning of it. Is that true?
Yes, when the show first aired, I remember seeing it in the TV guide and thinking, Space Cowboys, this is weird. Saw the cast and said, oh, this looks good. Saw by Joss Whedon and said, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so great. And I sat down, watched the first episode, settled back at the end of it and said, okay, I'm in for a long ride. So it's been great.
And you were also an extra in something else other than Con Man. What were you an extra in?
I got to be an extra in Serenity, so that was really great.
Now, what were you in Serenity?
In Serenity, I like to say I'm in scene selection 4. Right after Jane says, let's be bad guys. Mal and Zoe are going to rob the place, and there's somebody right there as they're coming in. That's me, the redhead.
All right. You didn't want to be a Reaver?
No, I didn't want to be a Reaver.
Oh.
Now, if you had to choose between a Firefly, another Firefly movie, or a Spectrum movie, what would you choose?
That's a really hard question. I'm on the set of Con Man, so I'm going to go with Spectrum, because I think seeing Adam's vision would be really great. But I always love Firefly.
That's a good call. And how did you get here today? What brought you here?
My friend Beth made me come.
Is Beth here?
Beth is here, but Beth refused to talk because she's my basically my producer when we ever have to do little movies. So she's like, I don't talk to people. I don't write anything. I will bring the craft services and make sure everybody shows up, but I don't do anything else. So I'm kind of her driver. I think that's why she brought me, because I'm her chauffeur.
I'm just going to call you Uber from now on.
I accept that. That is true.
And now, do you have anything that you've created?
No, I don't really create. I used to write back in the day before Twitter and Instagram and everything being. I was on the original Firefly board, so every time I would go to a fan event, I had a lot of opportunities living in California, so I'd write things up. So I was blogging before blogging was a thing. So I would let other people live vicariously through my experiences. I've been very blessed to see the cast so many times, so I would always write all of that up.
Do you still have that blog?
Rosalita9899 at blogspot.com.
I just wanted to mention, so my puppet sketch comedy troupe is called Batshit Crazy, but it's with a Y instead of an I because, you know, you don't want to insult people. So I just want to let you know.
So where does people find Batshit Crazy?
Batshit Crazy is on Facebook. I'm too much of a wiener to put on a website, but Batshit Crazy on Facebook, you'll see all the ridiculous puppets that I've made. Some of them are crackheads, so beware. Some of them, it's hard to sew a syringe into a puppet arm, but I did it, and I'm very proud of that.
And do you do shows in Austin?
Yes, I do improv shows and sketch comedy shows in Austin, Texas. Yeehaw.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Layla Reynolds, and I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Now, you are a Whovian, from what I've been told. Who is your doctor?
My doctor's Matt Smith.
And who's your favorite companion?
The Pawns. I don't know. It's just they were all the feels. Every episode that they were in, it was just they were great. I loved their interaction with the doctor and with each other. So, yeah, the Pawns are my favorite companions.
Now, you are also a Stargate fan?
Yes, very much so.
The movie or the TV show?
I actually like both. And I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the reboot of the new Stargate. So I did read that they are actually doing things differently from what the show is. So I don't know how they're going to do that canon-wise, you know, what it is going to continue to count as canon and whatnot. So we'll see. But I'm excited.
Now, you also like Sherlock.
Love Sherlock.
So what is it you have against American shows?
You know, I actually just really find a lot of British shows to be really, really funny. I kind of have a dry sense of humor, so it just really resonates with me. We just love watching British shows.
I'm guessing you're a fan of the IT Crowd.
I love the IT Crowd. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. It's the best. It's the best.
Now, who's your favorite character on the IT Crowd?
Oh, my gosh. It might...
Is it the guy in the closet?
It might be... Oh, no. I would say Moss, because he's just so unaware and naive, and just... I love him. He's really funny. But Jen's hilarious. I just... the ridiculous situations she puts herself in. I love it. Yeah.
So if you're in London and you see a fire, what number do you have to call?
Oh, I can't even recite that number. It's, yeah, too long for me.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Becca, and I am from Arizona.
Now, Becca from Arizona, you have a blog. Could you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, of course. I run a blog where I post a lot of my art. I'm a freelance illustrator. And if you want to check it out, let me pull it up. It is called Art by -B, B-E-E. And I draw a lot of Western and anime-inspired mixture pieces.
Oh, I like the amalgamation stuff. Now, do you like horror?
I love horror. I'm a huge horror movie buff. I actually, just the other week, my boyfriend and I went to an all-night screamorama at this amazing place called The Loft in Tucson. And, yeah, it was 7 hours straight. Classic horror.
Do you love being scared, or do you just love the genre for its cheesiness in some aspects?
I mean, at the end of the day, it is more about the genre itself as opposed to the scares. Because, you know, movies are scary, yeah, sure, but you know it's not real. You know it's not going to happen to you when you walk out of the theater. But there's just something so unique, especially about special effects that are practical, ones that are made by hand and operated by hand. You know, it's really a dying, you know, art form, and I like it a lot better than CGI, honestly. I think there's just something so unique about it.
And do you like B-movie horror movies, or do you like the classic horror movies?
Oh, both. I mean, you can't ask me to choose between the two. I would have to say, classic-wise, my favorite horror movie is probably Halloween. Really good. And then I will always go for a good horror B-movie. I don't have a favorite. They're all my favorite.
If you were faced with choosing between Michael Myers chasing you or Freddy Krueger or Jason, who would you choose?
Well, definitely not Freddy Krueger because, you know, like, he, like, rapes all of his victims, so I really wouldn't be into that. And he, like, can get into your dreams, so there's no escape. I feel like Mike Myers would be the choice to be chased by because he's always just kind of standing still in places, so you can sort of, like, I don't know if you're observing, you could see him and be like, hey. But also, he just walks really slow.
Actually, the correct choice is Jason, because in the first movie, he's not actually there. It's his mom doing the killing, and you can totally outrun her.
That's fair enough. I could probably outrun his mom.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Tess Bodley, and I live in West Hollywood, California. I'm from Ohio, originally.
Whereabouts in Ohio?
Mansfield, Ohio. Hour north of Columbus, hour and 20 minutes south of Cleveland.
I have never heard of Mansfield. What's it famous for?
Well, it is the Mansfield Reformatory, which was the place that Shawshank Redemption was shot.
Oh, nice. Now, you are a producer?
Yes, I'm a producer and writer.
And what do you produce?
I work on television shows. I work with actors. I work with brands. I do social media. I design websites. I write content. I do digital security. I do pretty much anything and everything.
Awesome. Now, where can people go to see some of your work?
TessBodley.com. That's it.
Now, do you have a YouTube channel also, or is it just .com, or is there links to...
No, I don't. I do social media and YouTube and everything for clients, so I don't actually do it for myself. I do it all day long, so I don't want to do it when I get home.
All right. Now, how did you get introduced into the sci-fi geek culture? Was that something you've always loved, or is that something you did for your job?
Well, I mean, I've always read comic books, and I've always been a geek. I grew up reading comic books all the time, and just, you know, my brother got me playing Dungeons & Dragons and everything. So we went to cons when I was a kid. But I just always grew up wanting to be a writer. And so after I went to Ohio State, and I decided I was going to move out to California and be a writer. And that's what I did. So, yeah.
Awesome. And now tell everybody where they can go to your website again.
Tess Bodley, TessBodley.com.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Natalie, and I am from Boston.
You're from Boston. Whereabouts in Boston?
Well, technically, like, 40 minutes outside of Boston right now in Methuen, Mass.
I know Methuen. I'm from Palmer, Massachusetts, out in the western part of the state.
Nice.
So you're in the 495 ring?
Yeah, I believe we are, yeah.
And so you just flew out here for Con Man Season 2 filming?
Actually, I flew out for Anime Expo, and I already had all the tickets for that when I heard about this filming. And my parents said, you have to do this. And I, obviously, of course I have to. You don't even have to tell me that.
Now, what's your favorite anime?
That is one of the hardest questions to ever answer.
All right, I'm not going to make you Sophie choice it. I don't know anything about anime, so tell me, what should I check out first? What's my gateway drug into the anime culture?
Well, it depends on what kind of genres you're into. But if you're looking for kind of action fantasy, I'd go for Fullmetal Alchemist, because Fullmetal Alchemist is one of those everyone can get interested in things, and it's got a whole lot of really great plot points, and the animation and acting is just amazing.
Now, what was your gateway into the nerd culture?
Well, my parents are huge nerds. So when I was, you know, 5 and all of my friends were watching princess movies, I was watching The Princess Bride and Star Wars, as well as the princess movies. But Star Wars is great.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Hi, I'm Amber. I'm originally from Tennessee, but I live in Los Angeles now.
So did you come out to Los Angeles for work?
I came out for school, and I stayed out here because I want to be in the film industry, so this is the place to be.
And what do you do, or what do you want to do in the film industry?
I want to write for TV.
Oh, excellent. So you must be a big television fan. What is your favorite genre of television? Is it drama, comedy, action?
It's drama, but I like sci-fi and fantasy drama the best.
So what are your favorite sci-fi TV shows?
Firefly is number one. And then all of Joss Whedon's shows, Buffy, everything that he's done, I loved. Doctor Who, even like the fantasy like Charmed a few years ago. Yeah, stuff like that.
So is there a show that you're working on right now or you're doing any kind of pitches for?
I'm writing my pilot right now. I have a few other ideas, but yeah, I'm just trying to focus on writing the thing and getting it all down and getting my drafts all good, and then I'm going to start pitching it.
Now, are you a morning writer, evening writer, or write whenever you can?
I write whenever I can, but I like to go to coffee shops because it clears my mind and I can actually work instead of getting distracted by TV and like books and everything, so yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it sounds like you had a terrific time, and thanks for getting all those interviews together. And maybe we'll be able to put a list of all of their websites and Twitters onto our page so people who like who you interviewed can go check them out on Twitter and everything. Can you get that to me?
Check us all the Twitters.
Yeah, we'll put it all on OutsideTheLongBox.com.
And I'll retweet a lot of that at Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box, guys. Have a great night, everybody. And thanks for listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
I pack my clothes and grab my single issues and wrap them up tight and make a list so my color.